I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You are listening to More Than a Song, episode 405. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Neesat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. My husband and I recently went to a Christmas show at our local performing arts center, and I posted a pic on my personal social media page with the caption, "I will get into the Christmas spirit. I will get into the Christmas spirit." And I know what I desire is that joyful feeling we often feel, or at least desire, around Christmas. But what we really need is Jesus, which, as it so happens, is what Christmas is all about in the first place. And that's why Brandon Heath's song, "We Need Emmanuel," is the perfect jumping off point for our Bible exploration at this time of year. But before we jump into scripture, let's listen. God with us, will you come here? As our song sings, we need Emmanuel. And I'm going to argue a little bit with Brandon on this. However, he says we need a little help. And truth be told, we need more than a little help. In fact, we need Emmanuel, God with us, because we are eternally separated from God because of our sin. And only God could provide a solution. His laws weren't cutting it. If anything, they just highlighted the fact even more that we couldn't do it on our own. And Paul points this out in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. He says this, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" So we're all cursed because we cannot abide by all things written in the book of the law. It's impossible. Which begs the question that Paul eventually asks in verse 19. Why then the law? And he gives the answer. And I'm going to go ahead and break it down and explain it along the way. We're going to stay here in Galatians chapter 3. And verse 19, it continues. It says, "It was added," it being the law, "because of transgressions." Now, transgressions are sins. This is the thing that breaks relationship with God. Romans 3:20 says it this way, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." So knowing how sinful we are leads us to comprehend our need of a savior. And that's what Paul is saying here in Galatians chapter 3. In fact, let's go ahead and keep reading. It says, "It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made." Now, Jesus is the true offspring of Abraham. And then back up in verse 16, it tells us that Jesus is the offspring that we're reading about here in verse 19. Verse 16 says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." So this would probably blow the minds of the readers here in Paul's letter to the Galatians. But what he's trying to say is Jesus is the offspring whom the promise had been made. And the transgressions, if you remember, are it says, "Why then the law?" And it says it was added because of transgressions. And so until the time that Jesus would come. So let's read verse 19 all the way through again. "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary." All right. The intermediary here is Moses. That is who the law was given to. And we remember that story. He was actually given it written by the very hand of God twice, right? Because he threw down the first set of tablets, stone tablets. And you can read all about that for yourself in Exodus. But this phrase, put in place through angels, it caused me to go ahead and take the bite of following the cross references, because I don't remember the angels. I mean, when we read the Christmas story, which I promise we'll get to today, we see angels all over it. But I don't remember anything about angels when God gave the law. I remember verse 18 in chapter 31 of Exodus, where he says, and he gave it to Moses when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So what do I mean by BITE, by the way? Well, it's an acronym for Bible Interaction Tool Exercises. And these are just the exercises I use to keep my time in God's word varied and, well, interactive. And following the cross-reference is a wonderful way to get you into different areas of scripture and begin to see how it's all interrelated and connected. It's one big story. And if you pair it with the bite of reading in context once you're there, meaning you'll at least read the section that the cross-reference verse is in, or even the chapter before, the chapter, and the chapter after, which is generally how I loosely define reading something in context, then you will begin to just consume more and more scripture. Sometimes you don't know where to start or where to stay. And if you begin to incorporate some of these habits, you'll just consume more scripture because of where the habits are taking you. So when I look at the footer of my Bible, the cross references for verse 19 in Galatians 3:19, you look down to the footer or over to the side, sometimes in the margins, sends me to Deuteronomy, Acts, and Hebrews. And if you've never really understood what that tiny print at the bottom or the narrow margin of your Bible meant, these are cross references. Often they will send you to other areas of scripture where that particular phrase was quoted before, or a thought or an idea or a theme is mentioned in other areas of scripture. And if you are exclusively using an app on your phone, for example, like YouVersion or another Bible app, you may not have the benefit of cross references. So an online Bible like BibleHub.com, they're going to give you those links to cross references. But let me tell you, there is just nothing like exploring a physical Bible. So if you don't have a physical Bible, or you're not studying from that periodically, I highly recommend purchasing one. And I use all kinds. I use my iPad, I use my phone, I use my physical Bibles, I use various study Bibles, I use the online resources because I want to make sure that I share with you things that are free or inexpensive. But I do, you know, there's nothing that beats that physical Bible. And those cross references are going to be in that physical Bible that you have. So let's follow the cross references to Deuteronomy, Acts, and Hebrews. And so Deuteronomy 33:2 is one of the cross references, easy for me to say. It's in the middle of Moses' final blessing on blessing to Israel on right before he dies. He is describing, rather poetically, I might add, the time on Mount Sinai when God met with him to give him the law. And he says this, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Ah, so there really were angels. Okay, I see that. All right, so what about Acts 7:53? Well, this verse is in the middle of a speech given by Stephen, who's a follower of Christ in the early church. He was speaking to the Sanhedrin, which were the ruling Jewish authority of the day. And it was like a beginning to end sort of speech. I would love it if you would read the whole thing for yourself. It takes up the whole chapter. But by verse 53, Stephen was really on a roll. In fact, let me read verses 51 through 53. He says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, capital R, capital O, by the way, which is Jesus, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. All right, so there we have it again. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. So was it given by God or was it given by angels? Well, it was given by God, but it is delivered by angels. is this idea that somebody would say that angels delivered it versus God, would this nullify the idea that the law was given by God? No. We just have more details now. And then there's one more. Hebrews 2:2 affirms it again. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So when we read that the law was put in place through angels by an intermediary, we can see that angels were present and part of the process. And we know that Moses was the intermediary. So that was fun, right? All right. So let's go. Let's head back to Galatians chapter 3. I call it rabbit trails for a reason, because it does kind of take us away from where we were reading. But when you follow those cross references and take the rabbit trail, it kind of adds to your time in God's word. Again, it makes it varied and you just learn more in the process. So back in Galatians chapter 3, if we begin reading in verse 20, we read, "Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one." All right, so we've talked in previous episodes about Christ being fully human and fully God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity. And when we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, it is in his name. And his name reveals his divinity, and it alludes to the Trinity as well. So where do we talk about Emmanuel, God with us? Where does Scripture mention that? I promised we'd get there. It was first promised through a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, and it's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to go check out the prophecy in Isaiah 7, you can, but let's read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." Verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." All right, Emmanuel, conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God with us, God is one. But why will she bear a son? Why will she give birth to Jesus? For he will save his people from their sins. And you may have been asking why we're spending so much time in Galatians when the Christmas story is in Matthew and in Luke, because it is in Galatians and Romans and other places where we learn more about the why we needed saving in the first place. The law was never intended to be the solution. It was intended to be a placeholder, a guardian until Jesus came. In fact, that's exactly what Paul said in his letter to the Galatians. Let's go back over the ground we've covered, but where we were taking it apart beat by beat earlier in the episode. Let's see how you understand it better now when I read it all the way through again, and then we'll take the bite of read and keep on reading to kind of see it all in one picture. Verse 19 again, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." Okay, so again, just let me pause for a second. What are we learning here? Righteousness was never intended to come through obedience to the law, but by faith alone. Let's keep reading. Verse 23. "Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith." There it is. The law was our guardian, showing us what sin looks like, how to restrain ourselves, also pointing like this bright neon sign toward our coming Savior. Verse 25, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. All right, so why Emmanuel? Why God with us? Well, I think we've made the case for that, but why Mary and why over 2,000 years ago? Well, Paul addresses this just a few verses later in the same letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. But that isn't what our song is singing about, is it? Our song is longing for the presence of God in our daily life right now. That's a felt need. Our real need, of course, was for our Redeemer, a rescuer, someone to save us from our sin. But I understand your felt needs. I really do. I understand being so desperate for God to intervene in daily life and where you are right now to provide healing or direction or opportunity or financial aid. And Brandon Heath is right. We need Emmanuel. And it is precisely that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem us, that we can have Emmanuel, God with us, today. That same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary and conceived in her the Redeemer of the world is the same Spirit that lives in those who have received adoption as sons, those of us who have placed our faith in Christ alone. And as believers, we are the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the very presence of God in the world today. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and he is active and with us today. And I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to list these things out and give you the references in the show notes. If you go to michellenezat.com/405, you can grab a list of these references. I'm going to go over them pretty quickly. But I just want to give you a few ideas of what the Holy Spirit is doing right now, today. First of all, we receive new birth through the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3. Jesus calls him the Helper, John 14, 26. He intercedes for us. He helps us to pray, Romans 8, 26. The Holy Spirit regenerates and renews the believer, Titus 3, 5. He guards and guarantees the believer's salvation. You read that in Ephesians 1 and chapter 4 as well. The Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ, a place where we find community and unity of purpose and thought in Romans 6, 3. The Spirit gives gifts to benefit and build up our faith and the faith of that body of Christ that we belong to in 1 Corinthians 12, 4. And I'm not sure what kind of help you seek from God's presence today, but the Holy Spirit gives believers wisdom by which we can understand God and his ways and his purposes for our life, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I would be remiss if I didn't encourage you to address your real need today. If you've not yet placed your faith in Christ alone for redemption and salvation, do that today. There's no special prayer. You could just simply say to God, I surrender to you today. I receive the gift of salvation offered to me through Christ. And it's as simple as that. I often say simple, but not easy. Of course, it came at a great sacrifice to God to restore a relationship with us. And following Christ is not easy. It doesn't. He doesn't hide himself from us, though. I mean, it's not a game. He reveals his character. He reveals his way. All right there in his holy word. He has left his presence to dwell in you and guide you and has protected his word so that we can be trained by it. Even the Old Testament law, because as we've learned today, it's not contrary to the promises of God. We can't rely on it or any other religious works for our salvation, but it is there and useful for our teaching and training. Our salvation comes through Christ alone, the God who didn't leave us alone, the one who sent Emmanuel, God, with us. So what's next? Well, the two main areas of scripture to dive into this week are Matthew chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 3. Of course, feel free to read and keep on reading any and every time you engage with scripture. Consider why God sent his son to be God with us. Let Galatians chapter 3 begin to help you understand the progression of things from sin to law to redeemer to adoption as sons of God. Because we really do need Emmanuel, not just to intervene in our current circumstances, but to rescue us for all eternity. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me at michelle@michellenezat.com. Hop on Twitter or Instagram at Michelle Nezat. My public page on Facebook is Michelle L. Nezat, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network, a network of podcasts associated with New Release Today. I encourage you to check out other episodes on sister podcasts and also all those fantastic music resources over at newreleasetoday.com. Now, if you have not joined the 30-Day Music Challenge yet, I highly recommend it. The challenge is to listen exclusively to Christian music for 30 days. You are never too late to jump in. You just submit your name and email address at michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge. And you're in. Now, before I tell you what song will be featured next week, I want to thank any new subscribers to my website, like Mike from Illinois, Michelle from Hawaii, Heather from Texas, Mary Beth from Virginia, Michaela from Wisconsin, and Pauline from Australia. Welcome. Now, new subscribers will benefit from a one-page resource of my top 5 bites that I've used on the podcast. It's a great place to start. Subscribers will also benefit from an email that I send once a week. And in that email, you get a weekly memory verse resource that you can display on your smartphone, tablet, desktop, or you can print it out. You get an email recap of the week's episode, and you get instant access to any of the extra resources that I create for my podcast episodes from time to time. And all of that is just my way of saying thank you for listening. So head over to michellenezat.com to subscribe today. Now, have you had a chance to write a review in iTunes for the podcast yet? This not only encourages me, but helps me stay visible to new listeners. As always, if you take the time to review my podcast, I will take the time to personally thank you right here on the podcast. Just like Scourge, who writes, wonderful podcast. I recently discovered this podcast and I can't stop listening. Michelle has inspired me to continue in studying God's word. This podcast has brought me a new motivation and interest in the Bible. Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing. I hope that your experience is the same and that you share this experience with others, that they too may be inspired to read the Bible for themselves. Now, I have a new tool to help you leave a review. If you haven't yet, just go to lovethepodcast.com/more-than-a-song. And you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will be using another Christmas song, Elizabeth, by Keith and Kristen Getty and Ellie Holcomb, to jump into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/405. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.